This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
So, welcome to Dilemmas with Jess Ellis, and I'm really excited about my guest today. My guest is Amy... How do I say the second name? I don't even ever feel like I can say it right.
I was wondering if you knew how to say it. Connachan.
Connachan.
Yes.
Amy Connachan. Connachan. Oh, that was the worst Scottish accent ever.
Oh my gosh.
And for people that don't know who you are, Amy, would you like to give us a brief, you know, maybe a little bit of a Tinder profile about yourself?
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm an actress. I'm currently playing Courtney Campbell in Hollyoaks.
You were like an extended member of my family, weren't you, really?
Yeah, for sure.
We're not related, but kind of were.
No, yeah, we weren't related at all, actually, but we just left. We lived in the same house, didn't we? And my cousin tried to kill you a couple of times.
Yeah, he tried to kill me a few times, actually.
Yeah, he was psycho.
Anything else you want to tell us about you?
So I'm Scottish.
Yes.
I went to drama school in Glasgow, and I've lived in Liverpool for like 2.5 years, and it was Hollyoaks that brought me here.
And what did you do before Hollyoaks? You did quite a bit of theatre, didn't you?
Yeah, I worked in the theatre mostly. I did, right before Hollyoaks actually, I did a sex comedy called Wendy House.
A sex comedy? That sounds right up my street. Did you actually have to perform the act of sex on stage?
I didn't have to perform the act of sex, but I did have to...
What did you have to do?
I had to perform the act of sex on myself with a massive dildo.
Oh my goodness, I've got a funny story about this. You know Carla
yeah.
At home, my friend who's an actress, and recently we just went to see her in a play.
Yes.
And me and Michael, we were like front row, and she had to, like, I think twice, I wasn't actually looking at her, I was just looking at Michael.
Mm.
Because his face was just like, that's Jess's friend, and we're really close. And she's wanking.
Yeah.
It was priceless.
Yeah.
It was absolutely brilliant.
It's a very strange experience.
Especially, yeah, I bet.
Yeah, and the first opening night. So it was my first ever job. So I actually ran for about 2.5 years on and off. But the very first run was my first acting job. I was still at drama school at the time. And on opening night, my mum sat in the very front row.
No.
And basically, when I was doing it, I was looking...
Did your dad come and see it?
No, no.
See, this is a thing. I feel like I could, you know, my dad freaks out if he sees a bit of my bum crack. Like,
yeah.
When we're on holiday and I've got, like, if I had a swimming costume or a bikini on, he'd be like, oh, cover up, cover up. So I think that'd be a next level to him.
Yeah, for sure. And same with my dad. He used to say in the city instead of sex in the city. Because he was so embarrassed.
He couldn't bring himself.
He could.
Is it like when people go, lesbian?
Yes.
Lesbian. So that would be a dilemma in itself. Like, who would you invite to watch you? This is a brilliant piece of theatre that I'm doing, but I'm actually masturbating.
Yes. And I also, and I also had to get.
Oh, so you've been like your dad now.
I've been like my dad.
And was you comfortable with the guy?
Yeah, I mean, I remember driving to rehearsals on the day that I knew we were going to rehearse and literally sweating with fear. But then it became like just really normal.
Because when you do those kind of things, like a sex scene or something like that, it becomes so mechanical. It's like a dance move, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be fair. Sometimes you have sex with people and that's exactly what you have to do. I'll make this face here. I'll make that noise.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's quite exposing because you think, do people think this is how I actually do it? Do people think this is what my face looks like when I do it? Like, it's really
Or if you look like you're shit at it, then that's also really bad.
Yeah. So you've had your fair share. On Hollyoaks, I mean, I guess you've had some love interest, but it never goes that far because it's at 6:30.
Yeah, I actually had a baby on the show and you never once saw me kiss the father.
Okay, so you've listened to this podcast.
Yes.
I have to start off this podcast with a game called Double Dares.
This is I almost said no because of this game. I'm dreading this.
Do you know what? This is what, that actually makes me feel like I love that. Because like sometimes people are like, oh, that game, yeah, I've heard you play that game. But you're like, I'm filled with fear of this game.
Yeah, literally.
And that makes me want to play it even more.
You must be an expert now and know what they are though.
No, because they're exactly the same colour whether they're nice or not. Right, what are you going for?
They don't even look appetizing.
No, the ones that are all right, you know.
This one.
Okay.
So what is the flavour potential?
I think what you've got there is either cola or cat food. And let me tell you, cat food is horrific. I think, Daisy got fresh blood and said it was like fresh arse. But to be fair, they're pretty much all either what they are or fresh arse.
Okay, right, okay. So, you're not filling me with
content. So on three, mm-hmm. you've got to do it and you've got to chew it hard.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
One, two, three, go. Oh, I don't know what that is. I think it's sprout. What's yours?
I think it's meant to be cat food, but I kind of like it.
No. You would know if it was cat food. Take another one. Take another brown one.
It tastes like bacon.
Maybe it's because you're Scottish and you're used to eating shit things.
What are the potential flavours again?
Cat food or cola?
No. Oh, maybe it's meant to be cola. It's not bad.
Try another brown one and let me see.
Okay.
Right. No, I think she's just... No, you definitely would know by now. What is it?
Sweet.
Yeah, it's because you deep fry everything. Okay, so you ready for one of our dilemmas?
Yeah, I'm excited.
So this is Lucy, 29, from London.
Hello, Lucy.
There's my accents again. Okay, this is quite a short one, actually. So, hi, Jess. I've been on a few dates with this lad, and I really like him, and I thought it was going really well. That is until last week. Mm. Mate, I feel like I've had this conversation or heard this conversation so many times. It was going really well until... He hasn't replied to my last few texts and he's not answering my calls. My friends are telling me to leave it and he's a dick, but what if something bad's happened? Mate, the amount of times I've been like,
happened, as in he's died.
His phone's broke. It's his phone. And if it's just that he's not interested, then I want to know why. Should I keep trying to get hold of him?
But she's not actually worried that he's dead in a ditch somewhere. She's raging that he's just ghosting her.
Yeah, ghosting is such a big thing, isn't it? Yeah. Like, has ghosting happened to you?
No.
No?
No, but only because I don't have any experience in men talking to me long enough for it to be a ghosting.
I mean, I think I have come across this problem loads of times. And I think this is a real big problem with internet dating, especially if you've not met that person.
Yeah.
But say like you've been, you know, on a Sunday, me and my friend Kim used to do an absolute Sunday sesh. It was called Tinder Sundays. And we might be a bit hungover, but we used to actually just sit next to each other on the sofa and just go hardcore. So you might end up speaking to someone and, hundreds of texts can be exchanged, can't they?
Yeah.
And it just gets to that point that, if someone just doesn't reply, it's that balance between going, I don't know this person, so is it kind of weird if I get angry and go, well, why?
But the only way that you're saying that you don't know the person is because you haven't been in the same room as them.
Yeah.
But you've had a full-on conversation.
Yeah, so it's just, like, I used to say, like, when my friends would say, like, he's a dick, like, he's just, like, he's a dick, he's probably got a girlfriend, he's got that, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, fine, I take that on board. But I still have the right to go, excuse me, sorry, we were texting loads and now you're just ignoring me. Like, I feel like if I was ever speaking to someone or had been on a date with someone and I wasn't interested, I would then always say, listen, I'm, you know, sorry, this isn't really working for me, or I've been on a date with someone else, yeah. I might lie. I might go, oh, I've met someone and I hadn't. But it was just a better way of then just not saying anything, because I just think it's fucking rude.
I think it's rude to not get a reply to a text anyway, regardless of who it was.
But then it's, again, that other situation is, how many texts and how many phone calls before you start to look absolutely desperado?
Well, I think the answer to that is two.
Do you think two?
The power of two.
I think this girl, like, let me just have a look at this now. So she's said, he hasn't replied to my last few texts and he's not answering my calls.
Can you just go over again, like, how long they had been talking about?
She's been on a few dates with him. So she has met him in person. So that's a bit different, isn't it?
And do we say, so three, if I would say a few is three.
Yeah.
Do you think they've shagged?
Well, by the sounds of it, it sounds like they have. It's what's it called? It's actually, like, scientific, isn't it?
Yes.
That, like, men want to go to sleep and we want to go, be with me, nest with me.
Yes. I think that if it's been three dates and they have had sex, then he should the least I can do is give her an explanation, like, oh, I'm not feeling it, it's not working out, whatever, I'm going to join the circus.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, that's his dilemma. I guess what our dilemma is, she's asking, should I keep trying to get hold of him? Now, what I would say is, she's obviously called and texted him a few times, right? I would then have, like, really go through it, write in your notes, go send it to your WhatsApp group, to all your mates to check over. But I would write a kind of, like, quite detailed message of, like, listen, we've met a few times. Like, I'm a little bit worried that you've not got back in touch. If you're not interested, please could you let me know, because I don't think it's very fair. And then that's it.
Yeah.
Also, if he doesn't reply and you haven't got the willpower, I've done this loads of times, delete his number.
Yeah, for sure. But, and I think that that's probably what he deserves, is that text of, come on now, like, this is only fair. But I think if it was me, I've already tried, I've already texted, and he's not answering my phone calls, I would leave it at that point.
Yeah, that's so true, actually, because I think, actually, in situations where I have texts like that, because I've been like, well, no, you should know that you've upset me and that's really out of order, then actually what's happened is my friends have been like, leave him, and then it might be a week later, it might be 2 months later, they always slide back in there. Yeah. It's called crumbing.
Crumbing?
There's not only ghosting, there's crumbing.
Right, explain that.
So crumbing is apparently when you've been talking to someone for a while and they might have ghosted you and disappeared. Mm-hmm. And then a few months later, they might either be single or back in the area, that they'll give you a few crumbs. So they'll text you a few things like, oh, sorry, like, work was absolutely mental and I really enjoyed talking to you. And they lure you back in with a few crumbs and you go, all right, then. So you, like, eat a few of them crumbs. They get a better offer and then they ghost you again.
Yeah.
So would you say then, in answer to her dilemma, you would say, leave it?
Yeah, I'd say, girl, have respect yourself and just leave it. He's not the one. Go out and find someone who wants to reply to your messages.
Yeah, do you know what? And I used to get really, because I'd be like, well, no, people have got different circumstances. But I remember a friend saying once, if someone likes you, they'll text you back.
Oh, 100%.
Like, if someone has lost their phone and they really like you, they'll find you on Facebook. They'll find a way to get in contact with you. Listen, we didn't always have mobile phones. People still dated.
Yeah, exactly. And also, how often do you go without looking at your phone? People see their messages. I mean, oh, I didn't see your text. Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did. I've seen that you've been online 5 times in the last hour, so I know you did. But yeah, I'm going to agree with you on this one. Yeah. Like, you've called him, you've sent messages. And also, just a side note, if he does get back in touch with you in a week, you fucking ignore him.
Yeah.
So, can I ask, is it difficult internet dating in a wheelchair?
So I'm not big on the whole internet dating. I've dabbled in Tinder. I occasionally...
And we've talked about this loads, haven't we? Because I did as well.
Yeah.
Like, and that's how I met Michael, was on Bumble. So it has been a subject of conversation, because obviously when we met, I was single.
Yes. And occasionally I'll dabble in the old Bumble. And my thing is always, do I put a picture where you can see my wheelchair?
Can I ask you, have you done it with both options?
I've done both options, yes.
And has there been a difference?
Yes. So if I put pictures up, so generally my pictures where I look pretty is my face.
Yeah. Which is more, and also, like, regardless of the wheelchair or anything like that, let's all be, you know, we're not putting our Saturday morning just woke up pictures on, are we? We're all putting on an altered image of ourselves.
Yeah.
I think that was something that I used to worry about, actually. You know, like, going on dates, I'd be like, but is this picture a lie?
Yeah, I know what,
like,
you mean.
Is this just a really nice lie? When I get there, are they going to be like, oh, fuck, you don't like your picture? Which must be a doubly thing that if you turn up, you're like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so it's I've got many pictures where I can pick where you can't see it at all.
Yeah.
And I, like, there's no way you would know. But when I've put a picture, so I've put 5 pictures where you can't see it, I tend to get more matches than when you can see it.
Yeah.
Or I've even done where the very last picture, so if they can be bothered to swipe all the way,
right, okay,
then they'll see.
So, like, tactical, kind of.
So I had been talking to this guy for a while once, and he'd never mentioned it, so I thought I'd bring it up. Like, oh, do you know that, like, I'm in a wheelchair? And you could see it in one of my pictures.
Yeah.
But he'd obviously just blocked that from his mind and made out that he didn't know.
Yeah.
But we had been talking for a good few weeks at this point, so it would have been, he would have come across as a real dick if he had been like, oh, I don't want to talk to you anymore. But there has also been times when I thought, oh God, I'm just going to say it right away.
Yeah.
So within the first few messages, I would say that I was in a wheelchair, yeah, or blah, blah, blah. And I would just, they would immediately unmatch me.
No.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding, yeah, me? Immediately?
Immediately.
Like, I'm sorry, if you're a bad person, at least give a few messages and make sure that people think that you're not a bad person.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but I guess your dilemma is, should I put it in?
Yeah.
So, like,
well, it's a massive part of who I am. And like, it tells a lot about me. And I feel like it shouldn't be, if it's ever going to be an issue, it wouldn't be an issue even at the beginning. So yeah. I feel like if it's an issue right away, then it's over, sort of thing.
But then the other hard bit of it is like going to someone like, I want you to get to know me.
Yeah.
And then that not be an issue.
Yeah.
So that fight of going, why don't you try and get to know me first and then I'm going to say it,
yeah,
which you shouldn't have to do.
Yeah.
I suppose, like, in a really, like, simplified way, because this is totally different, but it's like putting, like, I'm 5'5".
I know what you mean,
because
yeah,
height can be an issue for some people, you know, especially with boys. A lot of boys miss their height off because a lot of girls would go, you're 5', well, I'm 5'4", I can't have that.
I need
that.
Someone taller than me. Yeah,
I can't have that. Do you ever put that in your biog?
I haven't.
Yeah.
Yet.
Because, again, do you feel like you don't want to be like, hi, I'm Amy, I'm in a wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't normally write a lot in the bio anyway.
Yeah.
No, and then it's like, so if I don't put it in the pictures, how long do I wait before I tell them?
Yeah, but is it like,
I can't turn up on the day, be like, hi.
I mean, what does that do for your, like, confidence? Because you've just said to me that, you know, you get matched more.
Mm-hmm.
When the wheelchair's not there,
yeah,
does that then obviously go, that make you go, well, I don't want to put it in there?
I mean, part of me, yes. Well, my ego part of me is like, I want to see how many people think I'm fit just from my face.
And don't, yeah, but don't we all though?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? There wasn't a single picture of my body on my Tinder, I don't think. It was literally my good face. Literally my face in a shit hot light. Do you know what I mean? So I get,
yeah,
that. So I guess, right, for your dilemma,
mm-hmm,
we would say from the boy's perspective.
Yeah.
From the boy's perspective, that is a potential date for you. Should he be informed first that you're in a wheelchair, or should he find out on the date?
Yeah.
I would say,
like, what would you, what if you were a guy?
Yeah. Or even if I was swiping right on a guy and he was in a wheelchair,
yeah,
would,
yeah,
I want to know?
Yeah.
I would say I would want to know.
Yeah.
It's hard, isn't it? Because in any other circumstance, it's like, know what person they are or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it obviously is an obstruction for some people. Also, you wouldn't want to turn up on the date and that shock factor.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that it's only fair to the other person to prepare them, which sounds awful, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think if I was swiping and a guy was in a wheelchair, and I'm still me, I'm still in a wheelchair, I would prefer not to be with another guy who's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So I would like to know. So yeah. I'm sure, like, if that was to make a difference, I'm sure the other person would want to know. So I think probably it is best just to get it out there in the open, just be honest, because I don't think anybody wants to be on these apps and not get the truth.
Yeah, because like we were saying, you know, as shallow as it is, people have boxes to tick.
Yeah.
People would go, I don't want a small guy. I don't want a bigger girl.
Yeah.
I don't want a blonde-haired girl. I don't want that. So people do have their boxes that they want to tick.
Yeah.
So why not just be on it, you know, honest from, and then you can work out. And also, like you were saying before, if you being in a wheelchair is going to be a problem for someone dating you,
mm-hmm,
it's going to be, they're going to know from the start. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they might, you might,
it's
as well
always going to be a problem,
yeah,
no matter when you tell them or when they find out.
So you might,
yeah,
as well just get, fucking fuck them off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fuck the ones off that don't want to fucking, that wheelchair is comfy, right?
Yeah, I
there's
agree.
Been many a times when I've been pissed in a bar and you've been on the seat and I have used it. It's really good for getting up hills. Yeah. So I think if you don't want those advantages, then fuck them off.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we're all in a rush to do things now, and I don't want to waste any time on some guy who's just want to find out who I am, and when he finds out that I'm in a wheelchair, buggers off.
Yeah. So, in answer to your dilemma, get that wheelchair out there. I tell you, I'll give it a look. We could pimp my ride on
I'm going to do it, yeah.
Yeah, we could sparkle it up and make that wheelchair look fresh.
Maybe we could just do like a little catwalk where I'm just like modelling different wheelchairs and put that on my gender profile.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, yeah, put it out there.
I'm going to do it.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, the people that produce this podcast.
We make loads of entertainment shows like this one, but we also make informative and educational podcasts for brands. Brands who know that podcasts are the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world and who want to build their audiences online with their very own podcast.
We work with magazines, digital creators, influencers and industry experts.
From idea development through to distribution to all of the major podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Google Podcasts, we make making your podcast easy.
And tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
So email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and we can get the ball rolling on your new podcast this week. Right, back to the episode.
Okay, this is anonymous. Oh, juicy. 19, Wrexham. Hi, Jess. For years, I've been having thoughts about other lads. Okay. And in the last year, I finally accepted that I'm gay. Well done. But I'm freaking out about telling my friends. My dilemma is this. How do I start the conversation? What if they don't take it well? Help. So, like, this is so different as well from parents. This is friends. I mean, I'd love to know a bit more information, but is this guy, like, one of the lads? Like, is he worried about telling his...
Yeah.
Because I think it is much easier for girls to tell another girl that they're... I remember my best friend Hannah, I knew she was a lesbian since we were born because she told me that she wanted to get married in jeans, and no one ever says that when you're four.
That definitely means you're a lesbian, by the way.
They're absolute rules. It was really hard for her to come out, actually, but I think being a girl, telling us group of girls, like... was easier. It was actually more difficult looking back at the time with our friendship group was actually telling the boys.
Yeah.
They got a bit more weird about it, really weirdly. Like,
she probably knew that you would be okay with it because of who you are.
Yeah.
I wonder if this pair, what was his name?
Anonymous.
Oh, Anonymous. Oh, we don't know. Anonymous.
Let's just call him Wrexham.
Wrexham. I assume that Wrexham has these worries because he knows his thoughts, that he knows his friend's thoughts on homosexuality to begin with.
Yeah, but also then I think that, yeah, that it could definitely point in that way. But also I think that actually knowing people that have been in this situation, quite a few of them, and especially I remember a few people at drama school struggled with it, and I was a bit like, you are in the perfect environment to do this. Listen, we're at drama school and we're in London, but, you know, the straightest man in the room has got a top hat made of leopard print on, like, come on.
Yeah, if you don't graduate and you're gay, then you don't you don't get your degree.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is that it can be built up a lot in your head what other people's opinions might be. You could have that conversation with yourself about what they're going to say. And I just, I honestly think that this is just from experience of the people that I know, that actually the hardest bit is you holding that secret yourself. Actually, it gets a lot better once that you feel so much more free. You know, think of all the people that have got married, have waited years and years to come out. And yes, they've had a hard time, but they're the happiest they've ever been. But they're a 60-year-old man now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And you don't want to have wasted your whole life. I've got a twin sister who came out, well, years ago now. And that was her thing. She had built it up in her own head.
Yeah.
Everyone was fine. Of course, everyone was fine when she eventually came out with it. But it was what she had built up herself. And it turned out that I had known for about 2 years before everyone else knew. So it was strange that she didn't see my reaction and think that everyone else would be the same.
I forget as well. You know, I have been in... I'm surrounded, especially because of the world that we live in our acting world, that, you know, and also I've just been brought up like that. I was brought up in the gay village. My mum and dad, that was just a really normal thing.
Yeah.
And weirdly, my friends from back home, quite a lot of them, all of those girls, there's about four of them, are lesbians. Like, so it's just been the norm for me. But I do often forget that actually it is hard, and it was hard. And thinking back to the school that I went to, you know, it wasn't the greatest school. And if someone had come out in my year when we were like 15, 16, they probably would have got bullied. I think it's probably a lot better now, but there's actually still a lot of homophobic views and opinions.
Yeah.
It's just that it's getting better, but it's not all better. There's still a long way to go.
Yeah, and I do think with the situation that we're in, it's easier to pretend that that's not the case. I feel like because everyone I'm surrounded by is okay with everything that everyone is.
Yeah.
But I know that that isn't the case, really.
What I would say to this person is, as well, if you're worried about telling your friends, I know that this seems quite blindingly obvious, but if you tell your friends and they've got a problem with it, they're not your real friend.
Yeah, they're not your friends. And I think that they will be, though. Yeah. I think you just have to be honest, and probably they already know to some extent.
Oh my God, like, how many stories have we got like that? Yeah. How many times have people come out to parents, to friends, and they're like,
I know.
Yeah. Like my friend Jack, like, he didn't properly come out to his parents for ages, and I remember being like, but Jack, like, they moved you into that flat and they moved your whole box set of Sex and the City and they buy you really nice handbags from River Island. Like, I'm sure they know.
Yeah. And this isn't going away.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how long you keep it inside your own mind. It's going to have to come out at some point. So you might as well just get it out in the open. And like was said, if your friends don't accept it, then they're not really your friends. And then at least you know that they're not.
And also, I feel like you will find that when you come out to your friends, that you actually might find that your friendships get a bit stronger because you, without you knowing, subconsciously, because you've got the secret and you're holding on, you've probably built up a bit of a wall. Mm-hmm. You're probably not being your true self. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you're creating a bit of a barrier between you and your friends. But once that's gone, you can just be yourself.
Yeah. And they probably all have a WhatsApp group talking about how weird you are now and that you've changed.
Yeah.
And then when you come out, they'll be like, thank God, that's all it was. And then you'll be invited into the WhatsApp group.
Yeah. Like, we thought that you were it. We thought you didn't like us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just your sexuality. It's your preference.
Yeah.
It's like, whether you like ketchup or brown sauce on a body.
Exactly.
Okay, Amy, thank you so much for coming to my house and doing this for us today.
Pleasure.
I really wanted to get you on as a guest, and I think we've got a cracking little show here. But also, because you got away with the game so much in the beginning, I would like to finish Dilemmas with Double Dares and see if you can get a disgusting one, because I just feel like you've been let off the hook here.
Why?
So we're going
to get me.
We're going to go in again. I'm going to pick this one.
Okay, but I'm doing a green one this time.
Are you going to do a green one? So I'm going to do a brown one. You're going to do a green one.
Yeah.
Have you got it? 1, 2, 3. Oh, again. Disgusting. But disgusting. What have you got?
It's very minty.
She's got toothpaste. The one that I said, like, I don't think that that's even... Why is that a double dare?
No, I don't like it.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Well, there
I'm
you go.
I'm glad I never got rotten egg, though.
Yeah, you... Well, I mean, you
just... Spat yours out.
Yeah, because it tasted like arse, like I told you.
Oh, well, maybe mine isn't as bad because I can swallow mine.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus, she's got a bad one and she swallowed it. It can't be that bad. Ooh, that sounds a bit rude. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. We'll get you back.
Woo!
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like the Vagina Monopod.
Hello and welcome to the Vagina Monopod.
Woo!
I'm an actress, Sasha Parkinson. You may know me best from shows like Mr. Selfridge or My Mad Fat Diary. I feel like I'm reeling off my IMDb.
CV. I am Molly Wright. I am also an actress. What have I done?
The A word.
The A word.
Apostasy.
Bit of Our Girl.
Our Girl.
Apostasy.
Forgot about that.
2 weeks of Our Girl.
A little backstory as to how the Vagina Monoblogs came about. As a person anyway, I've always been quite open, especially from about 16, 17. I just kind of then couldn't shut up about periods. I'd happily tell anyone I was on it. I didn't really shy away from talking about myself in that way. I was diagnosed with endometriosis in 2016. And then that kind of just spurred me on really to be more vocal on social media about menstrual health We are not medical experts, but we will be getting
we're really not.
But we will be having the experts on. So if you have any questions you'd like answering, please get in touch and send them over to the Vagina Monoblogs on Instagram. We hope you join us for the next 10 episodes of more menstrual health discussion.
Woohoo! Vaginas!
The Vagina Monopod from Sound Rebel. Search for it now on your favourite podcast app.